Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. I'm Pablo. We got Lasha here. What's going on, Lash?
What's going on, bro? We got, after today, we got 2 weeks left, or as of today.
Yeah, like 17
Sunday,
games.
2 weeks left, man. Yeah, man.
It's 17 games.
Yeah, it's exciting, but nerve-wracking, if you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, for you guys, I see why you would say that, you know, because you're going back and forth every 2 days. You know, it doesn't matter because you both get to, you know, slide into the postseason, and whoever ends up in the wild card, because somebody's going to end up in the wild card. That's the scary part, I guess you're talking about. I can understand that. Whoever ends up in the wild card is going to have to play an extra series, you know, and then after that, they'll see the number one seed in the American League, which would probably be the Yankees. So, you know, that's a little tougher. You know, it's a 2 out of 3 series. You know, anything can happen. You make a mistake and you end up paying for that royally. But like I see, we can start, you know, that I just want to say that today's episode is going to be one of my favorites, because I'll tell you, the name of the episode is Let's Go Mets with eight
to go. Yeah, man,
they're
exciting. They're definitely exciting. I think they're the hottest team right now. I'm not trying to kiss your butt, but they really are, man.
Yeah, they're doing something special over there in Queens. I've been to a lot of those games, man. My dad came down from Puerto Rico, and he's been to the Boston series. You know, I got to see 2 out of 3 with the Baltimore Orioles. You know, I got to see Cincinnati play for a whole series. Fun times at Citi Field lately. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we lost that last one. We were going for 10 in a row. And we'll talk more about that, you know, a little later. But I want to hear about what you fear the most in your division and what's happening over there. Because it's interesting. It is. I like it. You know, it's a lot of, both of our teams are doing a lot of things right now, you know, and we're trying to fight, you know?
Yeah, no, currently as we speak, the Yankees are 1.5 games ahead of us. They have one more win than we do, but they have two less losses than we do. It's a seesaw for the American League side. As far as the wild card goes for the AL, for the American League, the only two teams that are really duking it out is Kansas City and Minnesota, and they're duking it out for the division as well.
Mm.
You know, actually, no, they're not. It's not the division. They're duking it out for the second and third wild card spot. Cleveland has the division, so I take that back. Yep. But anyway, Kansas City is currently the second best wild card team, and Minnesota is the third best. And the team after them is Detroit, so it's 2.5 outside looking in, if you want to call it that way. But Baltimore has a 5.5 game lead on the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, the flip-flop is always going to be like that. You're always going to have that lead.
Yeah. So, I'm worried because yes, getting in is great, but at the same time, you want to win that division because then you get a week to rest your players. And if you're a team like the Orioles or the Yankees who are just struggling and tumbling into the finish line, it could spill over into the postseason. And then in a 3-game series, you're trying to fix your struggles that you've had for the last 2 months. It's not going to work. So that's my concern. But other than
don't forget that you played a game a little differently too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you hate it, but analytics are going to be used heavily when it comes to the postseason, especially with your team, because you have to figure out a way to win. It's not about, can my starter go 7 innings? Who cares? You know, you have to adjust to what they're doing and vice versa. And it's a chess match the whole way through, you know, and it's going to be fun to watch, you know. And I know, I'm just speculating here, but I'm going to see the best series is anything the Mets are in, because I want to see how they adjust to that, to the big show, because they've been producing like that. And they've been playing a lot of big teams that they might even see in the playoffs. So they've done well against those teams as well. But you guys are going to have fun. You guys are going to have fun because you're going to end up playing them. And it's not about how long can my starter go. You know what I'm saying? If your starter gives you 3 good innings, man, and he starts to look shaky in the fourth, let's get him out of there, man. We have a bullpen, and they're here to help, too. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a 2 out of 3. So you can even throw in another starter in there just to, you know, jazz it up. But you have to win. That's all that matters. You have to win. It's a different game.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking of what I would like to see. I would love to see a San Diego Padres New York Mets wild card rematch from, was it 2 years
ago?
Oh,
my God, yeah.
Because it would be a great opportunity. And this team is better than the team that played us. Mm-hmm. Both teams are better than each other than they were 2 years ago when they played each other. That was 21 or 22? 21, I think.
That was 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would love to. Another pitcher, majority of the starting pitchers for both sides are not on that team anymore as far as who they had pitching during that wild card series. But either way, I want to see, because both the San Diego Padres and the New York Mets have been the hottest two teams in down the stretch so far.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Arizona was there for a while, but then they slipped. And, you know, now they're half a game back. They play tonight. We're losing right now. And Atlanta's destroying the Washington Nationals. So, you know, whatever. We're going to be flip-flopping too. So, you know, right now we're ahead by 1, I believe. And then if we lose tonight and they win, obviously they won already, but it'll be tied again and we'll both be tied for that last slot. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens, but I can't wait.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead, brother.
What would you say was the turning point of the Mets season?
Oh, I can tell you. Me and my dad have this argument every day because he likes Torrens, right? And I like Alvarez. And let me explain why I say that. So Alvarez is one of those catches that makes your pitching rotation 100 times better. Not a little better, 100 times better, all right? So you have to understand that, you know, we lost 5 in a row and then, you know, we were trying to figure it out. And the pitching was always there, if you remember. In the beginning of the season, the pitching was always there. The problem was we weren't hitting. Okay, we couldn't figure that out. We weren't hitting at all, but the pitching was always there. I would always say, damn, we have pretty good pitching, you know, and the numbers were showing, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we had like, I think the best ERA for some time there. And, you know, the rotation was doing things, you know, Severino's, you know, was showing what he could do. Manaea was showing what he could do. And then, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, we didn't have Senga. We had a
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day, and he was pretty good, you know, and I can see the future. But let's say he's coming back on the 25th. That'll be the second game of the Atlanta Braves series. So he'll be available for that game, the second game of the series, which is the second to last series before the season ends. So it's going to be fun to watch. I wonder where they're going to be in the standings, and I want to see what happens, you know, with that series. So I have a lot more to say, but, you know, I don't want to be greedy because now we're talking about my team. And I feel like I didn't have, you know, this opportunity to talk about this team like this. This is one of the most interesting Met teams I've ever seen. And I've been a Met fan all my life. But, Lasha,
I think Lindor is the MVP for the Mets because he's certainly carried them more farther than they could have ever imagined. And they didn't look like that in the first 2 months of the season. And I'm just glad to see he's doing well, and they need him. He's like the Aaron Judge for the Mets.
Definitely.
As far as putting them on their back and carrying them, because nobody else is producing, as in my opinion, besides Alvarez and Vientos. Pete Alonso is nowhere to be found.
But the thing is that, you know, that this team is a great team. I can't even explain to you because, you know, like, I've seen so many different lineups. You know, I have my own lineup in my head that I think is the best lineup to go with. But, you know, contracts and you're getting paid this much. This guy's getting paid $2. You know, we have to play you because, you know, we paid for you. And we don't want the fans to think that we're crazy because we put all this money and invested in you and you're sitting on the bench. You know, so that kind of stuff goes into play. I don't like it. But, you know, this team has multiple lineups and they all pretty much work. You know, sometimes, yeah, you know, every team struggles. But when they connect, you know, and, you know, we have a great cast. It's just not like, you know, I understand Lindor is doing what, you know, we wanted him to do from the get, you know. And he's become a different type of player now. And he's very exciting to watch because you really don't know what you're going to get with him. You know, he's fast and he's brilliant from both sides now. All of a sudden, you know, at the beginning of the season, he couldn't hit from the left side at all. And it was bothering me. And I didn't want to see him swing from that side because I already knew what the outcome was going to be. But that's not what happened. He turned into a monster from both sides. And then he's able to, you know, hit for the fences from both sides. And it's pretty interesting how it takes a player, you know, a little bit less than half a season to, like, figure it out after you've been practicing all winter. You've played. This is a guy that plays every day. You know, he's one of those guys. So how could you not figure it out? Like, how could you have lost it if you had it last year and not be able to bring it to the table whenever you want? It's insane to me. You pay so much money, you should be ready to go when it's time to go. But whatever. What do you think about what I just said?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes this is one of the nice things about baseball is that it's such a long season that you do have time to make adjustments yeah, and fix your weaknesses. Whereas something like football, or, you know, football is the best example because, you know, there's only 17 weeks where if you can't figure out why you can't get the ball out properly or why this is going that way, it's, yeah, you know, 4 weeks into the season, it's already too late. You know,
too late. It's baseball, too late, yeah.
It's you can go late. With literally, Lindor went 2 months with struggling, and ever since the All-Star game, he's just been on fire, and he's going to continue to be on fire, and I think they'll go as far as he goes. And Alvarez, like you said, he's been a great, you know, people don't realize, in my opinion, the catcher is the quarterback version of the NFL, of the baseball.
Yeah, definitely.
Without a good catcher, your pitching staff is not going to go anywhere because they control the game. They frame where the ball goes. They want to know how it is.
That's the man. Trust me, that's the man. And you know what's funny? This is what I was trying to get at. You know, that the fact that, you know, he got hurt and he needed to get surgery, right, on his wrist or whatever it was. Right? He was gone for a while. And this is when the Mets struggled the most, you know, because they didn't have a decent catcher. You know what I'm saying? Like, a catcher makes a big difference. Now, when he came back, that's when we saw the change in the team. And it was funny because the pitching was excellent. And then for some reason, it just connected. I mean, Peter never connected. He never figured it out. Like, for some reason, he was a wash this year, you know? Like I said, I've been to a lot of these important series at Citi Field lately. And it's crazy because, you know, when Lindor comes up, everybody else comes up, they love the team, you know? But they don't really have much to say about Alonso. You know, when Alonso comes up to bat, the stadium gets quiet. And it's pretty much an automatic out. And, you know, I guess it's the pressure, you know? Like, I saw a play, I can't remember what game it was, but it was a lot of games, a lot of innings, and I was, like, in it. And my dad loves it, you know? Like, we go to the ball game, and he doesn't even want you to get up. He's like, you're going to miss the game. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you eat what you're going to eat, you get your drink, and you sit down and you watch this movie. And this movie, you don't know who's going to win. It could be the bad guys, it could be the good guys, but somebody has to win. So, let's watch this and see how it happens, you know? That's my dad for you. But, you know, the catching makes a big difference, you know. It goes even further back. Remember when DeGrom, Syndergaard, and all these guys, they didn't want to throw to Wilson Ramos, I believe, right? Because they didn't like his style. But Wilson Ramos was the hot hand, you know. He was the one that was getting all the hits. So you had to play him. But the pitchers didn't prefer him. And that was interesting. And I can't even remember who the backup was at that time. But we'll look that up later. But I remember, you know, little things like that. A pitcher, you know, and a catcher, they have a serious relationship. And you would know that.
No, it makes a difference. You know, some catchers like the backup. Some pitchers like the backup catcher to catch him instead of the starter. Just, they have a way of understanding how their ball dances and how to catch the ball, where the other catcher might not know how to catch a fastball from Cole, but the other one does, you know. So,
yeah,
whatever works. If that's the nice thing about a baseball, you have two catchers, and you know that you can match the two of them together, and that they work well together. You know, it's not like it's not like football where if you put in a new center, there's a good chance that something's going to happen that they just don't connect, you know?
So, you have to build chemistry. Yeah, you're right about that. Like a defensive line and an offensive line and the quarterback and the wide receiver, all those guys need to have a relationship, a separate relationship. It's just like the guys in the bullpen, you know what I'm saying? Because they're living on their own little island, you know? They're not with the team when the game is on. So they have their own little island and they stick together. So they have to be able to have good chemistry and push each other and give each other the information that they have. You know what I'm saying? Because let's happen to say that we're both relievers in a bullpen, right? And I fought Soto yesterday in the seventh and the ninth inning because I'm nasty. So I came in the seventh and I finished the game. You know, we needed that because the bullpen needed rest, you know? So I get to do that, right? And I get to face Soto twice and I get to strike him out twice. So now that information has to come back to the bullpen. You understand what I'm saying? Because tomorrow, you might have to pitch against Soto. So I'm giving you the information, what worked for me. This is how a bullpen should be. If it's not
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Happening out there and anyone is listening and anyone, you know, just spread that word. I think that's how a bullpen should be. That's how a bullpen should work. if you guys work together in that sense, then anything is possible, you know?
No, you're right. And so, yeah, as long as Lindor stays healthy. It's funny because I even noticed that with the Orioles, you know, when Rutschman catches for the Orioles, the team seems to do better. When McCann catches, you don't know what you're going to get. It's, you know, right now, today he's catching and he's having a good game. You know, he catches tomorrow and the shoes might fall off. So he's inconsistent.
Yeah, I didn't like that guy at all.
You don't want inconsistency, but for a backup, he's a good backup. I like McCann. He's a good backup. As a starter, heck no. So it makes a big difference. But anyway, let's go back to Lindor. So Lindor, he's tied for 30 home runs and 30 steals, which is pretty amazing.
So that's how it works. Yeah, so, you know, five times, you know, he did it five times. He hit 30 home runs as the third shortstop ever to hit 30 home runs five times, right? And the only two other shortstops that ever did that were Ernie Banks and Alex Rodriguez, which is pretty crazy. All right, so he's actually breaking records too, but you know, we're the Mets. Nobody's going to really talk about stuff like that, but the information is out there. You know, this guy's doing some really amazing things this season. You know, right now, you know, he's trying to, you know, join the 40-40 club, if I'm correct. He's trying to join the 40-40 club, right? Something like that. But let's see what happens. It's going to be, you know, interesting. I like this guy. You know, he's finally turned into the, you know, like he's starting to remind me of Beltran or, you know, players that I love growing up, you know, when I was younger. Not growing up because I was older already. And this is when I really started watching baseball. And I was like, wow, I love this guy. I love the way this guy produces. He's clutch. You know what I'm saying? You know that when it counts, you know, it's going to happen. You know, these guys are going to come up and they're not going to fail. They're going to put in some serious work and get it done. And this is what this guy reminds me of now. You know, like everybody's falling in love with him all over again. Because, you know, when he first came over, everybody loved him. And they were like, wow, he was a great shortstop for Cleveland at that time. I think he was on that last Indians team. Am I right about that? I think so, right? Right before.
Yeah. Went to the World Series.
Yeah. He was that last part of the Indians, you know? So. Yeah. He, you know, he was special to those guys, and he did his thing. And now he's doing, you know, he's doing it over here too, you know.
Yeah. It's, so far, it's looking like that deal is worth every penny that they sent him. They spent on him. So far, it's working.
Finally, and I don't know. Finally.
Yeah, which is good. It just started off slow, but, you know, it's, you know, I think it was just him adjusting to a different league, you know, being in New York where there's a lot more pressure and moving to a whole new city, things like that. But I don't know. He's great, man. I was starting to worry in the beginning. I was like, is he starting to fall off a little bit? What's going on?
Too early for that.
Just adjustment. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He's like,
it's too early for
literally
that.
In his prime.
Yeah, he's in his prime. Not, yeah, that's like the greatest move. I mean, like, listen, if he's going to play like that and he's going to be that type of, you know, monster that when he pops up on the plate, that the pitcher is like, damn, this guy is going to rake today, you know? I don't think I have it, you know? Like, that's crazy, you know? Like, the guy is really producing. He's stealing. He's moving. He's doing everything. He's actually three steals away, right, from getting two 30-30 seasons, right? That's what he did, right? That's what he's trying to do right now. Three steals away from that. But Bobby Witt Jr., running second as well for the AL MVP, right? He's two steals away from it. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of, you know, great shortstops up there. This guy Lindor is playing, you know, like a champion. He wants to win. You can see it. I think, you know, he's a little too talkative for my taste, you know, but he's that guy. I don't know. You know, he's right now he's producing, so, you know, I'm not going to complain, but it's pretty crazy. So what else do we want to talk about, brother?
Let's talk about Jeff McNeil. Sir, he hurt his wrist. How long is he going to be out for?
Oh, he's done for the regular season. He's done. So, you know, like, you know, best wishes to Jeff McNeil. You know, like, this is the guy that, you know, won a batting title with us in 2022, and he got paid for his services. You know, they gave him an extension. It was a $50 million extension deal for 4 years, right? So after that, he just, like, pretty much fell off. You know, he hasn't been able to do that anymore. Like, he's not that contact guy that, you know, we all loved. That guy that, you know, saw a man on second and third and said, wow, all I have to do is tap it right over here, right over this first baseman, because he's playing too far to the right, you know, and I could just slip it right through here, right over his head. And that's the type of guy that McNeil was, you know, like a Tony Gwynn, you know, like slap the ball, put it into play, contact hitter, you know. But this guy, for some reason, he lost that. And then, you know, he gets hurt, you know, he got hit. He was trying to, you know, lay down a bunt, and he got hit on the wrist, and now he's gone for the rest of the season. He, you know, he shrugged off the docs at the game, the trainers, and he said he was okay. But then come to find out, he has a small fracture. But, you know, like I said, you know, he wasn't producing. He wasn't doing his thing. And I feel like you should always play the hot hand. And I think Jose Iglesias is the hot hand. You know, I think that he plays great defensively at second. I think that he gives you a better chance to win games. And he's a veteran, you know. And, yeah, you know, he doesn't get paid as much as McNeil does. And I don't hate McNeil for, you know, getting the money, because he deserved it at that time, you know. So, okay. But he's fallen off, and he hasn't been able to produce like he, you know, and he's hard on himself, you know, and I don't know if that's working for him anymore. You know, you can see the frustration in his eyes, and you can see him, you know, cursing himself out. It's pretty crazy. On national television on a daily basis, if McNeil doesn't produce, doesn't get a hit on any at-bat, you're going to see him frown and hate himself, all right? That's a given. You can always put your money on that. But I think he's a little too hard on himself. He's not hitting the way he was. They changed his setup completely, and they told him to start swinging harder, and he started to do that after the All-Star break, and it kind of, like, started working, but he fell off again after that. I don't know. You don't watch a lot of Met baseball, but I know you know these players very well, and I know you know the numbers, and you know what's going on out there.
Yeah, no, just with McNeil getting hurt, man, it makes the Jose Iglesias signing such a big, what a great under the radar move that was, because these guys just took a chance on the guy. You know, as he was signed to be a backup essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
Or he was there to be to give McNeil rest days when he needed a rest day. Well, now he's getting his rest days due to injury, but Iglesias has been another under the radar guy that's been performing for you guys, and that's,
oh my god, like, literally plus. I just said, oh my god, I didn't even mean to say that, but seriously, like, this guy is, like, I don't know, man, like, who doesn't want this guy on their team? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's that type of guy. He's electric. He hits the ball hard. He hustles, and he plays a great second base, man. Like, listen, you know, the song and all that hoopla and whatever, you know, I don't care about that. I mean, listen, if it works, it works. If they're going back to the clubhouse and they're blasting that song 10 times in a row after they win a game, and if that's what works, that's what works. You know, you want to keep, you know, a lot of these players are superstitious, so they, you know, they keep it going. But, hey, listen, Iglesias is a way better player at this moment than Jeff McNeil. And I don't know if you agree with that, but, you know, I have some numbers. We can take a look at them, and I'll explain to you why I think Iglesias is a little better. But what do you think? You think that Iglesias isn't this, you know, B grade that plays like a A grade, you know, like, player? Like, it's crazy.
I just think, overall, I take McNeil over. Now, Iglesias is near the end of his career. Iglesias just happened to have – he's having a better year with a short amount of games than McNeil has played. McNeil has played more games than Iglesias, and he just seemed to be struggling. But Iglesias has came in. I think, you know, a lot of these guys, they do well, and there's no pressure. Iglesias is one of those guys. There's no pressure on him. He's going out there having fun, creating music videos, all this crazy stuff. Because there's no pressure. And when there's no pressure, it makes your life easier. You can be more relaxed at the plate. You can be more relaxed at the plate. You can take your time, see what the pitcher's throwing at you. And, you know, and also, you don't have to be as aggressive. You can just wait and wait. Take your time. Wait for the pitch. And it's going to come. And that's what he's doing. So it's been a plus.
Yeah.
Would he be like this if McNeil had broke his wrist in the beginning day game one of the season? I don't know. Who knows? Iglesias has only played in what, 23 games?
Nah, he's played in a lot of games. 67 games.
67. So all right. In the 67 games, you know, like I said, that's 3/4 of the season, you know.
Yeah, but look at the numbers though. Let's look at the numbers, all right? Because this is an interesting subject and I like what you said. Like, you said something really interesting there. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even look at it that way, you know? But the whole pressure thing and playing a certain way and being relaxed, and I can see that because, you know, Jeff McNeil got paid all this money to produce and now he can't do it. So that means that he's in his head, you know? Because I know he can be a better player. You know, I know he has it in him. Now, what's going on? Only he knows. But, all right, so McNeil played in 129 games this season, right? 424 at-bats, right? 101 hits, 26 doubles, 12 home runs, 44 RBIs, right? And 35 walks with 68 strikeouts with an average of 238. Okay, so that's 129 games, 424 at-bats. Jose Iglesias, right, this year, 67 games, right? So that's like pretty much half if you look at it that way, right or wrong. Like, you know, it's pretty close to half. So he gets at bats, right? 196 at bats, right? So that's like almost half of what McNeil has on the other side there for 129 games, right? So Jose got 62 hits, 13 doubles. But and so 62 hits, right? And McNeil went up to bat 424 times. McNeil gets 101 hits. This guy goes up to bat 196 times and he gets 62 hits. You see that, right? You see the difference there?
Yeah,
it's huge.
It's a big gap. Yeah.
It's a big gap. There's a big gap there, okay? Because yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now you went half, less than half at the at-bats that McNeil had, and you were able to produce 40 less hits than him in less than, you know, and McNeil got an extra 200 and something at-bats. That's crazy to me, right? That's crazy to me.
No, it definitely is. So,
okay, and then you get 13 doubles, right? And then McNeil has 10 extra doubles with 200 and something at bats. You see what I'm saying? Like, wow. It's crazy to me. I don't know, you know? And then McNeil gets 44 RBIs and 424 at bats. And my man, Jose, has 23 RBIs. All right. Right up his, right halfway there with 200 and something less at bats. Okay, you see why I say, you know, batting 316, because obviously he's not playing every day, so he get. But when he comes to play, he's hitting the ball, you know, because we have DJ Stewart is batting like 170. He's below the Mendoza, that's for sure. And, you know, he's been up and down. He's been up here and he wasn't hitting, so they sent him back down. But that gives you an example of what type of player Jose Iglesias is, you know. And I know you see the difference. And this is the difference, all right? So, yeah, McNeil got 101 hits. But they weren't in pivotal moments, you know? He's not clutch like Jose is. Jose's clutch. Like, a lot of these hits were when we really needed them. When we had men on base. When we know, two when, outs. You know, two outs, you know? This is what he's doing, you know?
Down by one.
Exactly. This is what he's been doing on a constant, okay? With 200 at-bats. The majority of those hits meant something to him, the team, and the fans. All right? This is why he's a household name. Not because of the song or anything like that. It's because this guy came to play. And we're blessed to have him. All right? That's how I feel. And I like the way you think, too. You know, you said a lot of interesting things when it came to those two. But, you know, you would rather have McNeil because you know what you have in him. You know, you're right. Iglesias next year, you know, might not have the energy. You know, and it depends on the team and what your team is doing and how your team is moving. And, you want to contribute. You know, you don't think that's how it works. This is why your team is so good, too, because your team, you know, they have chemistry. They grew up together, you know, and they're going to get better and better, you know. And you guys have money now, so you guys can fix situations, you know, now. It's not like, oh, well, you know, we paid for this guy and he didn't pan out, so now we're stuck. No, you guys aren't in that situation anymore. You guys can actually fix what's broken. So you guys are going to, oh, man, listen, if the Mets and the Orioles end up in the World Series this year, I wouldn't be surprised right now, as we speak. Yeah, we know. We're about to lose the second game in the series in Toronto. Atlanta won, whatever. You know, we won a lot of games, you know. Won a lot of games. We're 9 in a row. And the crazy thing about that is that, right, we swept Boston, right? We swept Chicago, right? And prior to that, Diaz blew a save because we were playing Arizona. We would have swept them if it wasn't for that blown save. That would have been 3 sweeps in a row. Then we go into playing with Cincinnati. Cincinnati lost the first 2, the last game. Man, that would have been 4 sweeps in a row. You know, like, the potential for that happening was there, and the fact that they were playing like that, and the potential for that to happen was there. That was crazy to me. I just couldn't believe it. 9 in a row. And then, of course, we got stopped, right? But the run has been real, and I've witnessed it live, and it's pretty crazy to be in that stadium and feel the energy. The energy is in the building. It's getting nippier. It's getting crazy. And the fact that we're still playing competitive baseball, and I'm
using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Buying tickets and willing to sit down for 3 hours to watch these guys play in September. Yeah, it's special. And I know you
understand. Yeah. Yeah, no, I see. So they've won, what, 17 out of the Mets have won 17 games out of the last 23. So that's above 500. You know, that's pretty above 500. They've been playing in those 23 games. And these are the type of wins you need if you want to make the playoffs. You know, they had to do this because they fell so far behind in the first 2 months of the season that they had no choice but to be playing like the way they are now. And if they hadn't done this, I don't think they'd be in the position they are now. But now that they're in the driver's seat, the hardest part, you know, the easiest thing to do is getting there. The hardest part is staying there. And now that the Mets are in the wild card, can they stay there? Now, with the loss tonight and the Braves win, I think they're tied back, or they're tied for the same record, or yeah, maybe go a half.
Yeah, no, it's tied for the same.
Yeah, they'll be tied. Yeah, because the Braves just match the same amount of wins.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, these are the type of stretches that you need when your team, you know, like the Mets, you know, who, in my opinion, really don't have any pressure because they weren't planning to go to the playoffs this year. They were just planning to rebuild, try to build their farm system. They knew the 2024 offseason's coming. They know Soto's going to be available. They know Alonso's going to be important, available. So those are 2 main things they're worried about. And they know now with the likes of Steve Cohen, they have the money to go get a Soto. So they're going to, I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink and everything at Soto to get him. Because in my opinion, I think they value Soto more than Alonso. If they don't get Soto, then they'll come begging back to Alonso to come back. Now, it is a plus because Alonso does want to come back to the Mets, but if the Mets have the option, if the Mets have the ability to pick up Juan Soto, I'm sorry, Alonso, and you're your homegrown, but you don't produce as well as Soto has in the since he's been 21 or 18, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah. So, like, seriously, yeah, you're 100% right about that. I agree. You know, I've seen, and the reason why I'm saying that, you know, we just finished talking about Lindor and how it took him all this time to transition and become the player that he was when he played for Cleveland, right? And I've watched Soto move multiple times, and he's always been able to produce no matter where he landed. And that's a real player. That's a guy that's like, okay, so I'm wearing this uniform, the ball is the same, my bat's the same, and I know exactly what to do. All right, so what am I? I'm playing right field, of course, right? Oh, you want me to DH? Okay, I'll DH, I'll right field. I don't care, whatever you want, boss. And then he's going to come up to the plate and he's going to kill that ball. And that's what he does. He doesn't have a problem. He played for Washington, got a ring, left. Played for San Diego. Didn't have a problem heading over there. You know, came to the Yankees. Boom, doesn't have a problem heading there. And I'm pretty sure if he, you know, crosses the bridge, he's not going to have a problem hitting there either. And on top of that, that's the division he came from originally. So he's not going to be completely lost.
No, definitely not. One thing I want to switch to is the Mets starting pitching. They've been really the greatest and most successful surprise for the Mets. You know, Luis Severino is a one-year project. They say, you know what, we'll give him a shot. He seemed to be done in with the Yankees. He just had a horrible year, and they let him go. And he, ever since he's came back to the Mets, he's having a great year. Same thing with Sean Manaea. He kind of struggled in the beginning. Quintana, he's not the ace that he was in Chicago White Sox, but he's a good 3 or 4 starter.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah,
for the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're losing all three of them because Manaea has an option for like $13.5 million, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to take it with the year he had this year. I'm pretty sure he's going to try to snatch up. Yeah, he's going to go out there and try to snatch up a two or three-year deal and make a lot more money. So I know he's not coming back unless we pay him, you know. And Luis, and, you know, what a great job, you know, but I'm pretty sure we're not going to pay him either. We're just going to let him go. And somebody's going to, you know, attain him, and they're going to have fun with him. He's great. I love him. He did a great, you know, job this year, and I love it. That little rotation, it's an interesting team because we're never going to be able to see this team play ever again after the season is over. You know, this team was special. You know, so it's David Stern's baby, you know. It's like his first Met team that he put together, and he put together an amazing cast. You know, it's crazy how, you know, you put players together, then they just build chemistry. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He thought that something was really wrong in the beginning of the season because he couldn't understand why it was happening. And look, he put together a great product, and I'm excited to see what else he does. You know, it's a really interesting season for us. This team is not going to be nowhere near the same next year. And that's sad.
No, but like I said, for the Mets, free agent pitching-wise, you got the Corbin Burns that's going to be a free agent. And, you know, Boston is the rumor to go after him and the Yankees. Even if you don't get him, you got Max Fried that's also available. Shane Bieber, you know, I'd be shocked if the Atlanta Braves just let Max Fried walk. He's been okay. He's been good. He hasn't had a great year this year, but if you let him go, I think they'll let him test the market and see, do what Judge did, go window shopping and see who gives you the best offer and then say, hey, this is what this team gave me, X, Y, and Z. Do you want to match? And I think Atlanta's would match. I don't, you know, they're short. Their bullpen is not that great. I mean, their starting rotation is not that great. So I think they'll do that. But besides that, if I'm the Mets between Manaea and Severino, I would just keep giving these guys 1 or 2 year contracts and see what happens. You don't want to commit to a long contract. If he wants a lot of money, then you got to take it. He said, listen, I'll give you 1 year for $25 million, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Just because the Mets can eat a contract like that. It's not the end of the world. If he has a great year, great. You do it again. If he doesn't, all right, you just lost $25 million. That's what I would do. But a team like that have Cohen's, he's not going to do that because they can't take that risk, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I, that should be my backup plan if I'm the Mets. If I can't sign Burns, Biebers, or the Freeds of the world, out of the guys I currently have that are free agents, who can I take? And if Severino, me between Manaea or Severino, I'm taking Severino all day. Manaea, he's inconsistent, you know?
I know, but he has over 10 wins, and he's been.
He does.
He has been, you know, a pivotal piece to why we're where we're at now. And, no, and Severino as well. You know, Quintana, you know, he's had moments, but then, you know, he has a lot of bad ones too. So, like, he's a funny dude. Listen, Peterson has become a monster. You know, like, we don't know where this came from. It reminds me of DeGrom when he first came up. He was okay. But then he turned into this monster, right? And Peterson did that, you know, for the last couple of weeks. He's been electric, all right? I was at the stadium, and he struck out 11 dudes, all right, bro? Like, he struck out 11 dudes, bro. He was a monster that day. And he's been great for us. And today he had a bad night. He was horrible tonight, okay? Like, when I say he was horrible, it was bad. And I don't even want to talk about that because it really, you know, upset me. But I know he can be better, you know. But everybody has bad days, right? So.
Yeah, no. But like I say, you got, you know, baseball, it's hard not to. But you got to enjoy the moment, live in the moment, have fun, and see where the road takes you. You could be the Arizona Diamondbacks of this year where you just go on a magical run and go all the way to World Series, you know, kind of like what they did in 2015. You know, that 2015 Mets team, they literally went on a magical ride. Everyone was just producing at the right time. Offense was right there when it needed to be. The pitching was on point. Everything was just – everything just worked out well, and that's what I'm noticing with this year's Mets team. Diaz has gotten a lot better. I know he struggled in his last opportunity recently, but he's
– a little. Yeah, but we like – he still got it. He's still safe. Yeah, but – he struggled in the series where it mattered most. You know, he struggled in the series. He blew a save with the San Diego Padres. And the funny thing about this little, you know, adventure that we call the schedule for the Mets is that San Diego was on top of the division. Arizona was right behind them. And here we were, you know, looking outside again because we didn't play well. And we ended up below the wild card, and we were looking in, and Atlanta had the last slot, and we're playing San Diego, bro, and we could have won 3 out of 4, you know, and we ended up splitting that series, and that's because Diaz blew a save, you know, and then the same thing with Arizona. Arizona was going to get swept by the Mets, all right, and Diaz blew a save. So, you know, these games, these important games now, can you trust Diaz in a situation where we really need it in a postseason situation where it's like, man, it's 2-1. These guys have their 1, 2, and 3 coming up. Bottom of the ninth. Do you bring the trumpets or you keep the hot hand for the, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I really don't know.
I don't know. I mean, you have the same exact problem on your side. So, you know, obviously you're going to make the postseason. Now, you got a 2-1, you know what I'm saying, bottom of the ninth in their stadium. And what do? Do you bring your man in or do you? You don't want to. You've been all year long, you've been talking bad about this man.
Oh, no. I would not bring in Kramer. Well, Kramer's not the, Dean Kramer's not Dean Kramer. I forgot his name already.
That's how bad you hate him. I'm not going to tell you his name because that's your team. And you talk so bad about this guy all year long.
You've been Kimbrough. He's been.
Look at that. You hate him so much, you forgot his name. That's crazy.
I fucked him out of my memory. But Sir Anthony Dominguez is now our new closer. He's the guy they acquired from Philadelphia. He's not Felix Bautista. He's not Edwin Diaz, but he's been a little. He's a little better than Kimbrel. I at least have some hope and faith in Dominguez than I do in Kimbrel. I don't know what it's Kimbrel. I don't know if it's age has caught him with him, or he just has. His problem is he doesn't throw fast, and two, he has no controllability. If you have controllability, then you're great. If you can't throw fast, you gotta have controllability. If you can't throw fast, if you have control issues, you gotta throw fast. It's just the way it is with pitching, because if you throw fast, it's gonna be hard. So it doesn't matter where you put the ball, because the guy's gonna still swing, you know, because he threw it so damn fast. But if you can't throw fast, you gotta be pinpoint accurate where the ball goes, and you gotta make that ball dance in the strike zone and make it so frustrating for the hitter. And Kimbrel can't do that, and it's highly frustrating. So he comes in when there's like a 4-point lead. You know, anything more than 2 runs, he's going to be in there. Anything less than 2 runs, Brandon Hyde's like, heck no, I'm not dying on this hill, because unfortunately, it's going to be a situation in the postseason where they're going to have to use him.
Yeah. And maybe that'll change for him. Yeah. Maybe he'll become that elite closer again, because the adrenaline and the situation.
He's been there before with the Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah. So I can see that happening.
Phillies. Who knows? He might turn around, but I highly doubt it.
No, but you know, this is what I'm scared of. These are the little things that I'm scared of. Can he pull it off? We don't want to lose a game in the postseason like that with a blown save, because you had your elite, the guy you actually pay to do this job that we actually need to pull off right now is this guy. And this guy comes in and, you know, we don't want to talk about that. But yeah, you know, these things didn't happen. And this is why it's scary for both of us. It's crazy how that works. And, you know, like everybody's saying, yeah, you know, the Mets, if they make the postseason, what a great year. No, you know, they have to at least win a series. So you can say, you know, this Met team was great and they made it to the NLCS or whatever it is, you know, like.
Or the DS if they made the wild card.
Yeah, because we don't want them, you know, I mean, listen, we don't want them going in and getting blown out in the first round, you know, in their first series. We don't want that happening, you know. I mean, listen, like I said, this is a magical team. This team is like the Bad News Bears to me. It's like, you know, like, yeah, we're going to have you together this year, but next year, you guys can forget about it. You guys are definitely not going to be playing together next year. I don't care how well you did this year. You guys are not going to be playing together next year. This is a one and only, you know? So have fun. Enjoy your season. And it's crazy. It's been a great season. This is one of the funnest teams to watch, man. It's crazy.
What the Mets remind me of? They remind me of the 21 Orioles. They finally turned around the corner. They went from 115 loss season to a winning record, and they were in the wild card contention, and unfortunately they just didn't make it, but they won 84 games that year, but they had no pressure on them the same way the Mets. They have no pressure on them this year. They're just out there playing loosey-goosey, having fun. They know the guys that are playing for them are not their futures, you know, future. They're not to be a part of the future. They're not part of the future. And that's the way it was with the Orioles. And that's what this season resembles for me. The Mets, very similar to the 21 Orioles. And then the next year, the Baltimore just took off. And I think that's what's going to happen with the Mets next year. The Mets next year, they could definitely, I could see them being the division contender, division title contender next year.
Let's see. I think that anything can happen this year, the way these guys are playing. It's pretty interesting. So we're getting to the part of the show where we try to make this a little bit more interesting and, you know, informative. You know, it's the trivia question, of course. We try to stump Lasha, and then we break out the information for you. So this is where you guys can get enlightened on, you know, how these questions get put together and, you know, how deep you can dive when you ask a question like this. All right? So here we go. You ready, sucker?
Fire away.
So which Mets, right, have won a batting title?
Ooh, which Mets? Oh, boy. Mm. All right, let me think. Let me think.
Take your time. This is a good one. And I know you know both of them, so.
Carlos, I'm just going to take. I know both of them. All right. What about Carlos Beltran?
Nope. Strike one.
Beltran. Okay, so what year was this? Can you give me a hint? Give me three hints.
No, I'm not. No. Well, okay.
You don't have to give me a hint. Never mind. Forget it. Okay, I'm going to figure it out.
Nah, I'll give you a hint.
Just give me one. All right.
I'll give you one. And if you don't catch it, the Flying Squirrel.
His nickname was the Flying Squirrel? Yep. Oh. Jose Reyes?
No, that's not the Flying Squirrel, but Jose Reyes definitely. No, he was fast, and he definitely won the batting title. He won that in 2011 with a .337 average. And you know who was right behind him? Do you remember that?
In the 2011 season, Jose Reyes.
He won the batting title in the National League, and there was a player that was right behind him. He played for the Brewers at the time.
Played for the Brewers?
Yeah, and he hit .332.
Oh, Prince Fielder?
Nope.
No, he's too fat. That wouldn't work.
Yeah. No, but we're not. It's not that we're not talking about the 40-40 club. We're talking about a batting title. We're talking about best average for the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can be fat.
It could be Fielder. Okay, I take that back.
Yeah.
Oh geez, 2011. I don't know the Brewers that well.
All right, it was Ryan Braun.
Oh, he's still there, duh. Oh wow, I'm an idiot. Okay.
All right. Now you want to hear the before we go into the other guy, let's talk about this interesting story that I found about the whole thing with Jose Reyes winning the batting title that year. Right. So. I believe they were going into like the last game of the season, right? And they were both pretty close, right? So depending on the outcome of the day and, you know, what they produced or not, we would know who the winner of the batting title would be, right? So Jose Reyes goes up, and I believe that he hits like a whop. He gets a bunt hit or something like that, whatever. He gets on, and his average goes up a little bit. And he tells Terry Collins to please take him out of the game because he doesn't want that, you know, he doesn't want to drop the average after getting the hit, right? So, of course, everybody, you know, everybody, all the Mets fans and the papers, they're like, he cheated, you know, because he didn't go out there and prove that he, you know, truly, you know, was the batting champion that year. Because he took himself out of the game. Terry wasn't happy with it either, you know. That's the funny thing about it. Terry wasn't happy with it. But yeah, that's just what he did, you know. It's kind of like cheating, you know. It's an ugly finish, right? That's what they call it.
Yeah. Wow, that's really good. I forgot about Ryan Braun. And then Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes, after he had left the Mets, he had a bunch of problems off the field. But he was a great player with the Mets. He every time he got on base, he would steal. He put a lot of pressure, and he was a good shortstop. He played well. He could hit, you know, kind of like Lindor, but Lindor is way better, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think Lindor is better.
There's if you're looking for a good game to watch after this, Chicago Cubs and the LA Dodgers, Shota Umaga versus Yamamoto. I'm gonna watch this game. To go to sleep too.
I might tune into the San Diego or Arizona games. They both start at
40.
Yeah, you know, see how they play. But I'm done today. You know, because you know how it is. We always talk about it. When the team loses, you just don't. You know, everything sucks.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You don't want to do anything. You just want
to. I don't want
to
watch
for tomorrow to come. Yeah.
Yeah, I want exactly. You can't wait for tomorrow to come to see how they do. You know, because you're like, you gotta get over this hump, guys. You can't lose two in a row. Not what we're trying to do right now. All right, we lost one, but guess what? Tomorrow's the rubber match, and we have to take that, you know?
Yeah, same thing with Baltimore. They got a rubber match versus Boston. They got to win. Boston is two games out of the last wild card spot, and they're barely above 500. I would be really upset if they lose. Nothing upsets me more than when our teams lose to teams who barely above 500 or just like dragging. It's just like, come on, man. You should be slapping these teams around, you know?
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that. So the other guy, right, that won the batting title for the Mets. Who is it? You know who it is. It happened Piazza? In 2022.
Alonso or Nimmo? Or McNeil? I'll go McNeil.
It was McNeil.
Yes, Jeff McNeil.
Yeah. And you know who came in second that year? By 1 point?
Nimmo.
No. Freddie Freeman.
Of the Dodgers. He was already in the... No. Yeah, he's already with LA. Yeah, he's already with LA, I think.
No, I think that was... He was still with the Braves.
Last year? His last year. That's right.
Yeah, 2023 and 24. Yeah, Dodgers. But I think that happened. Yeah, 2022, I think he was still with the Braves.
So they won the World Series.
Yeah, so 325 that year for him. And Jeff beat him
by
1 point. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? And then we have, you know, our pitcher of the week. Well, we have two pitchers of the week because... It was so good. Lasha couldn't pick one, you know. So
they have very similar stats.
So go ahead. I want you to let's do this. Talk about it.
So our pitcher of the week for this week was the first guy came from the Arizona Diamondbacks, Zach Gallen, on September 4th against San Francisco. He pitched 6 innings, allowed 0 hits, 0 earned runs. With 8 strikeouts.
That's pretty impressive.
And then the other guy, his name is Shota Umaga. He's a rookie from Japan. He's with the Cubs. He just came over this year, and he's currently pitching right now versus the Dodgers. Anyway, he was a part of a combined no-hitter in a 12-0 win against the Pittsburgh Pirates on September 4th. He pitched 7 innings, 0 hits, 0 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. So he went more innings, had... one less strikeout. Basically, that was the only difference.
Yeah.
But that's pretty amazing.
It is.
Especially for a guy who's coming to a new league. I think that's more impressive than the other guy because Gallen's been in the MLB for a while. Where Umaga, he's new and, you know, he's a small pitcher and this is his first year in the major leagues compared to Japan. And he had a great performance in the you know, Pittsburgh was one of those teams I thought they're going to maybe make the wild card because they just look so good. But besides Skeens, everybody else has been horrible for them. So they're not going to make the playoffs, but who knows. And then our hitter of the week for this week was no other. You've heard of this name on the replay.
Many times, yes.
Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Nationals on September 6th versus
Arizona.
He went 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, and 2 runs. He's literally carried that team along with what's his name, the second baseman for the Astros, Altuve. You know, so those two guys. Without those two guys, who knows where Houston would be? But he's our hitter of the week.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I was at a game the other day, right, when Vientos hits, can't remember all the stats. Let me see if I can find it. But Vientos hits 2 home runs, gets 4, you know, RBIs off of that move. And he hit the walk-off in the bottom of the 10th, which is pretty, man, I was there for that, too. That was pretty crazy. A lot of exciting times at Citi Field, brother. Pretty, you know, fun to watch. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, man. 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks. I can't believe we're down to 2 weeks. I'm kind of sad because the postseason can come and go really fast, and your team can be out of it with a snap. You know, if you lose 2 games or 4 games, your season, you know, it doesn't take much to lose 4 games. It doesn't take much to... It's easier to lose 2 games than it is to win 2 games, and it's easier to lose 4 games than it is to win 4 games. So your season could, you know, you could be ending fast, or you can continue to surprise you. And if both of our teams go far, For the Orioles, I want to see them get past the DS because that's the way they went last year. If they can get past the ALDS, make it to the next round, I'll be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you on that.
The first I've ever seen them play in my lifetime was the ALCS against the Royals, but then they lost in 2015. And you know what happened then. The Royals went to play on the Mets, and they beat the Mets. So that's the last time I've seen the Orioles. And same thing for the Mets. The last time you've seen them get that far was the World Series. So you want to see them win it if they can, you know?
Oh, man, I would love it. But we'll see what happens, you know. We will see what happens. So, yeah, Vientos, man. Vientos had a great day that day. They ended up winning 6-4 that day. He hit a homer with Lindor on base, and then he hit another homer when in the bottom of the 10th with Nimmo, because Nimmo was the, you know, the man on second. The inning started out with, you know, the extra inning rule. So he did that, and we took the lead. The game was tied 4-4 in the 10th, and they came off with another Vientos home run. So, you know what? Hit of the week, you know, we can argue that's a great second place. Would you agree with that, sir?
Yeah, no, I definitely would. It's not a bad position. But, like I said, nice thing about being a wild card team is that, once again, you have less pressure because no one's expecting of you because you just got in. That's the way I look at the wild card. The wild card places, I look at it as you're the last car that just got under the garage door that's closing. You ever done that before? You try to get right under the gate before the door closes?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the way the Mets and the Orioles are. You know what I mean? You're like the last car trying to get into that last spot of that gate of that parking lot before they close the gate at closing time. And that's what the Mets are. And if you get in, great. Play loose. See what happens. You know, the team that they might be playing, they might have looked good all year, but then they come to, you know, the postseason. They, you know, the Mets could play the Philadelphia Phillies in the first round, let's just say.
Yeah.
Usually see the Mets take 3 out of 4 against the Phillies, or 4 out of 7, whatever it is, 3 out of 5 from the Phillies, because the Phillies are just in turmoil, man. They're just like a ball that just keeps unwinding and unwinding, and I don't know what's going on.
This is the funny thing. You know, the funny thing is that, you know, after the series with Toronto with the rubber match tomorrow, you know where we're going, right?
Philadelphia.
That's right. For
cheesesteaks, Geno's.
Right, we're going on cheesesteak land, and we have to play them. And that's the funny thing is that we have to play them 3 in Citizens, and then they come over the City Field for the last series of the of City this year, right? Because then they go on the road and they play Atlanta and Milwaukee to end the season out on the road. But the last homestand is 4-game series against the Phillies. So that's 7 games right there. So, like I said, all these playoff teams, right, that, you know, everybody that's in the race to try to, you know, the Mets have run through them, you know. We played Arizona. If the season ended today, this is the funny thing. If the season ended today, I think we will play a 1-game elimination with Atlanta. Then from there, we would have to fight Arizona. And that would be a 2 out of 3 series. And that would be in Arizona all 3 games because they have home field advantage. Because they have a better record, right? And after that, the winner of that 2 out of 3 would have to play San Diego in San Diego for 3 games straight. All right? And then the winner after that would play the number 1 seed. And the Phillies and the Dodgers are still fighting for that. So we don't know who it's going to be. Because the Dodgers haven't been all that great this year either. You know, I thought they were going to win over 100 games easily, but no, not the case. So we'll see who the number 1 seed is. The number 1 seed could be the Mets for all I know, because if you think about it, imagine if we take all 7 games from the Phillies. We'll be right there at the top of the division. So, I'm just saying, you never know what can happen. There's 18 games left, and anything can happen. Agreed, sir?
No, well, right now you're currently 8 games out, so you would have to... You and Atlanta 8 games out, so there's 7 games left. Yeah, you would basically be 1 game. Yeah. In that time, you would need... Not well, even if you took 7 games from them, yeah, you'd be 1 game behind. But yeah, you'd also need Philadelphia to lose the other games when they're not playing you as well.
No, 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 but that doesn't matter. Because remember, when we play Philadelphia, we have to play them 7 times. So whoever wins that game takes a game.
Yeah, no, that's true. So if you win 3 games, you're now 3.5, well, you're what, five games out.
Exactly.
In the first place.
Exactly.
But the problem is if Atlanta keeps winning, then you're both 5 games out of that, of the Braves.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Philly. Yeah, yeah, that's so fine.
You need
you need
Atlanta to, you know, poop the bed or whatever you want to say, and you need Philadelphia to continue fall off like this.
It's going to be fun the whole way through. It's going to be great. But, so, oh, my God. I'm just going to stop laughing.
All right, so let's just go by the last 10. In the last 10, both the Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies are 8-2, whereas the Braves are 5-5. That's why they've been able to catch up to the Braves, yeah, and that's why. So if they continue to play on that track, then I would not be surprised if the Mets finished with at least the first spot in the wild card. I think that's more likely, that's more realistic to me, the Mets gaining the first wild card spot than it is
getting them winning the division.
Yeah. Because with less than 20 games left, with 20 games left, I think we said, what, 23 games left?
18 games left.
With 18 games left, man, at 18 games, Philadelphia would have to go like 2-16 in those 18.
Nah, not that happens. Not that bad. Not that bad. They just have
at least 500. If they play 500, listen, that's not good.
No, listen. If when the Mets play these 7 games, if the Mets come out of it 5-2, that's a problem for the Phillies right there, because then the Phillies really can't lose after that series. I mean, you understand that? That's how it's going to be. It's going to be just like that. If the Mets come out of that 5-2 or 4-3, Phillies are going to have to play their hearts out for the rest of the season, because anytime they make a mistake, they have to worry about that rearview mirror. But the same with the Mets, you know? But we'll see. Coming to the end of the show.
Yep.
We'll be back next week, and I'm pretty sure things have, you know, will be completely different from what we just spoke tonight. Because that's baseball for you. But you guys have a good night. Last show, that was a great one.
Good job, man. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week, brother.